kaun, inshallah wa ta'ala. And that's what we are doing. We are just sitting here learning, so inshallah wa ta'ala, we can develop an attitude to witness for haq only, inshallah wa ta'ala. Surah Al-In'am started with our relationship with body and soul. And there's nothing hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala knows us inside out. We learned that the greatest achievement in someone's life when he will receive the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself said, my mercy prevails over my wrath. So we have to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Have tawakkal on Allah. Then we learned, for any kind of acceptance, we were given the criterion of listening. As listening is the first step to guidance. Subhanallah, that's what we are trying to do here, inshallah wa ta'ala. It is not in our hands. Guidance is not in our hands, absolutely not. We have to seek and desire for it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, inshallah wa ta'ala, bless us with guidance. We were told that righteous deeds will not benefit us much if we do not stay away from sins. So it is so very important. While we seek guidance, we desire guidance, we have to refrain ourselves from sins too. It's just not one-way street that Jesus keeps on doing sins and, not leaving it and then doing the righteous deeds too. So it has to go, that we have to refrain ourselves from sins. It's so very important. We have to keep in mind, inshallah wa ta'ala. Then it was told, hardship and trials will come to make us humble. How we deal with it? What is our attitude when the trial comes? Are we seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or we are just so arrogant that we don't even realize it and then start blaming someone else for that, instead of realizing that it is our doing that's causing us this. Inshallah wa ta'ala, we will realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-alim. His knowledge is infinite. Subhanallah. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala knows anything and everything. We were warned about the importance of the righteous company. See, we are learning just I think sometimes we don't even pay attention to these things which subhanallah we are told to. These are dues of the Jews, inshallah wa ta'ala, and we will inshallah ta'ala pay attention on this. And we and avoid people who take deen as fun and part-time activity. So we will, inshallah wa ta'ala, keep the company of righteous people, inshallah wa ta'ala. The way Ibrahim alayhi salam searched for the truth, we have to spend time and energy for it to do, inshallah ta'ala. Shirk is the destroyer of all the righteous deeds. This message was even given to prophets. Subhanallah, prophets, all the prophets, they were chosen people by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were the most righteous, the most pious people on the planet. But even they were told. So where we stand? Reality check. We have to do again self-assessment on that. Shirk is, actually we have done that. We have to give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala His due right. So very important, so very important. By eliminating any and every form of shirk from our lives. Establishing Quran and Sunnah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lives. So that's how we will be able to, inshallah wa ta'ala, we will try to give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the right Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this kind of attitude and may we accept and witness for haq the moment we stop, spot it, inshallah wa ta'ala. So dear sisters, are we going to search for that truth and are we going to witness for it, be a witness for haq, inshallah wa ta'ala? We have to put ourselves in that position, that if we do that, what can be the outcome? But if we don't do that, what could be the outcome? See, knowledge is so powerful. We learned every single detail on that. And inshallah wa ta'ala, later when you will join the in-depth courses, you will learn more of it. But right now, at least we got the glimpse of it, that it could not, it could be real, real nasty if we do not, if we go against again the other way around. So inshallah wa ta'ala, we will focus on that. And for the continuation of Surah Al-An'am and for Juz 8, inshallah wa ta'ala, in our journey through Quran, we will go to Atlanta, Georgia, where Sister Faiza will inshallah wa ta'ala explain the juz, and she will take us a step further in our learning quest of Quran bi-Iznillah. So please stay focused, write your notes, and inshallah wa ta'ala, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you the beneficial knowledge, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to keep our iman and taqwa. Ameen, summa ameen. Jazakumullah khairan kaseera wa sandida. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khairan kaseera. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajeem. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear students, how are you guys doing? It's so good to see so many students coming on time. You know, this is the best time we can spend in the month of Ramadan. As we all know, we're kind of trapped in our home. In the beginning, people were thinking that this trap is basically a punishment, that we cannot go anywhere. But you know, since the month of Ramadan has started, I truly feel that this is not a trap. This is basically something that we need to be enjoying it. You know why? Because, subhanAllah, when we come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we spend time, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an opportunity. If you think about it, the people who are working, people who had errands to run, people who had things to do, they would not be able to take this course the way they're doing it now. Many of you may be working. Many of you may be working mothers. Maybe many of you may be involved in some other profession. So consider this as a blessing that you can take time out for the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sit right in front of your computer at your comfort of your own home. And this is such a blessing. With that, inshallah, we're going to begin Juz 8, but it has too many lessons, inshallah. So don't worry. Don't try to absorb everything, because it's not possible for humans to do that. This journey is giving you, just as sister said, is giving you the glimpse of the Quran, right? So inshallah, take it easy. Just have intention, pure intention for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it happen for you. So with that, let's listen to the recitation of today's ayahs, and then we'll move on from there, inshallah. So Juz 8. I'm hoping that you have Quran and stuff in front of you and you are ready to take notes, inshallah. Type labbaik if you are. Let's listen to the recitation now.
وَلَوْ أَنَّنَا نَزَّلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ وَكَلَّمَهُمُ الْمَوْتَى وَحَشَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ قُبُلًا مَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ يَجْهَلُونَ وكذلك جعلنا لكل نبي عدوا شياطين الإنس والجن يوحي بعضهم إلى بعض زخرف القول غرورا ولو شاء ربك ما فعلوه فذرهم وما يفترون ولتصغى إليه أفئدة الذين لا يؤمنون بالآخرة وليرضوه وليقترفوا ما هم مقترفون أفغير الله أبتغي حكما وهو الذي أنزل إليكم الكتاب مفصلا والذين آتيناهم الكتاب يعلمون أنه منزل من ربك بالحق الحق فلا تكونن من الممترين.
الحمد لله، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعده فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today we're going to do just 8. And if you remember from the Juz 7, we had the main theme that was justification of the truth. And here in Juz 8, we're going to learn what the theme is. And the theme of today's Juz is that Shaitan is our open and fierce enemy. You know, sometimes we just don't take Shaitan very seriously. Today, the whole Juz, you will learn so many ayahs and so many ways that you will see the Shaitan attacks us, and we, on the other hand, get into trouble because we don't realize, we don't really understand what Shaitan's tactics are, and we think that no, we are in control. We know how to control ourselves. So this is why today's theme ayah is ayah number 27 of Surah Al-A'raf. You will see in that, that يَا بَنِي آدَمَ لَا يَفْتِنَنَّكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ كَمَا أَخْرَجَ أَبَوَيْكُمْ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ. O children of Adam, let not Shaitan tempt you as he removes your parents from paradise. This is an advice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly to all of us. We really need to understand why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that. You know why? Because if we can only realize Shaitan as an enemy, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help will come and we will be able to control ourselves. Today's dua that goes with this, since the theme is Shaitan, in the next slide you see that Rabbi a'udhu bika min hamazati shayateen wa a'udhu bika Rabbi an yahdurun. Let's say it together because we don't want Shaitan to interrupt us in any way. Because sometimes, you know, he interrupts us in different ways. Like for example, by distracting you and by making you think of something else and you lose your focus. At the end of the class, if I ask all of you, what did you understand? If someone says, oh, I understood this part, and the other person can say, you know what? I don't even think this part was mentioned. I don't even know that this point was shared. You know why this happens? Because the moment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to listen to something and Shaitan really puts you in a distraction mode and you miss that point. And it is not even possible for us to think that yes, we got everything 100%. It's just not possible. But we can try our best and we can make dua that Shaitan stays away from us. And this is why we say this dua. Let's say it together. Rabbi a'udhu bika min hamazati shayateen wa a'udhu bika Rabbi an yahdurun. My Lord, I seek refuge in you from the incitements of the devils, and I seek refuge in you, my Lord, lest they be present with me. How beautiful this wording is. This is a ayah in Surah Al-Mu'minun, ayah number 97 and 98. In this, basically, we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know what? This incitement of shayateen are with me all the time. So I need the protection, oh Allah, to protect me. And I also need protection that they are present everywhere, wherever I am. So basically, it's a very complete, comprehensive dua that we can ask, inshallah. Now, some just 7 review points. We have already done the review, so we're not going to do that. Just go to the next slide. If you know, see this. If you go to the next slide, you will see main lessons from the Juz 7th were Haq and Truth. Do you know what the connection from Juz 7 to Juz 8 is? This is exactly what you see in your slide right now. Meaning, in Juz 7 we learn we have to be testifying and be a witness for the Haq and Truth. But why do you think it becomes next to impossible sometimes to speak up for the truth? Why is it that even good Muslims, practicing Muslims, they don't find courage enough to speak up for the truth? The reason being that Shaitan makes it very hard. This is why we're learning the next Juz 8 today's church, the main theme, the main lesson here is that know your enemy. You know why? Because if your enemy is known, you know your enemy, only then you can really protect yourself against it. Let's go to the next slide and then we'll see some main points from Judges 8. What are some of the main topics that we'll learn today? Number one is, of course, what is Shaitan? Who is Shaitan? And how he entices us. Number two is, seek forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you stay away from Shaitan. And majority is not the authority. We will learn that what many people are doing, that doesn't mean that things are right. And of course, there will be a beautiful ayah about Sharh al-Sadr. You know what that means? That means opening up, expansion of the chest. We will make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expands our chest so we can absorb this Quran wholly in our hearts, inshallah. And for that, we're going to have to seek knowledge, right? So this is also one of the topics we will learn, that we must seek ilm. And then we will learn Allah loves those who are grateful. And this ayah will come many times. Every time this ayah would come, it reminds us we have to be grateful of the blessings or else Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes them away. And then envy eats up the deeds. So we have to be careful not to envy anyone. And then we will learn that do not follow blindly. Sometimes when it comes to the society norms or the family's traditions, we follow things blindly. And we will learn here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, be warned that people may be doing things, that doesn't mean you should follow them without even any proof or any authentic backing. And then we will learn about that Jannah requires effort. Every time the ayahs of Jannah comes, there is something before that that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to do. So that tells us that Jannah is something that requires effort on our side. And of course, we will learn love Allah. And this has been the theme from the day one, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There will be an ayah addressing also. We will learn how Shaitan entices people. And because of their sin, they remove their clothing and there will be a beautiful ayah. We will learn in that how to dress up, and dressing up for a woman is a right of a woman. Inshallah. With that, let's go to the ayah number 111, which is the today's first ayah. If you notice, in this paragraph from ayah number 111 to 121, we will learn about hurdles towards guidance, meaning how and what are the things that stops us from towards coming to guidance and how Shaitan makes the things so beautiful. There is an ayah in the Quran that will come and inshallah we'll get into that. Let's begin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in ayah number 111. وَلَوْ أَنَّنَا نَزَّلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ وَكَلَّمَهُمُ الْمَوْتَى وَحَشَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ قُبُلًا مَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ يَجْهَلُونَ. And even if we had sent down to them the angels with the message and the dead spoke to them of it, and we gathered together every created thing in front of them, they would not believe unless Allah should will, but most of them of that are ignorant. What do we learn in this ayah? We learn many lessons here. You know what the first lesson is? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down the message. Whether it's in a form of human or whatever it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying you have to believe. If you don't have the open mind, you're never going to believe no matter what happens. No matter how many miracles Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you will not believe. And another thing we learn here is that majority of the people do not believe. Do you know why? Because they don't want to believe. Do you know why? Because Shaitan is our enemy and his job is to distract people. And every ayah you will see this theme that Shaitan is there to make things hard for people. When they see the truth does not come in their heart. It doesn't enter their heart. This is why majority denies. That does not mean that majority, when they deny, that means that our problem is with the religion. Because this is what the fitna today we see in our young generation. They say, oh, if this religion is so good, then how come majority is not following it? So the answer to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave in this ayah, that aktharahum yajhaloon, most of them, majority of them are ignorant. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ عَدُوَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ الْإِنسِ وَالْجِنِّ. And thus, we have made for every prophet an enemy, devils from mankind and jinn, inspiring to one another decorative speech in delusion. But if your Lord had willed, they would have done it. So, leave them and that which they invent. زخرف القول. What is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us something special in this ayah. And that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the shayateen. You know why? To test us. Because if the shayateen are not there to distract us, then there is no test for us. If there is no test, then what's the point of creating Jannah and Jahannam? And if there is no Jannah and Jahannam, then why do you think people would do right things and wrong things? And why would they live a life with restrictions, right? So this is all chain reaction. So it is a plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to create this shayateen who can distract you. And you know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this ayah? That Allah created shayateen for every prophet. Now, why is that? You know why? Because when shayateen are there, when prophets give the message, people, shayateen, make it hard for people to understand and accept the message. And this is why we see that majority of the people ignore them. So, here we learn something very special, and that is that shaitan entices people very beautifully. The tactics of shaitan is that he does everything zukhruf al-qawl, meaning he makes things appear to be very beautiful. Today, we live in a society, everything that is wrong is made appear to be so beautiful. It is like this. If you want to understand this word, basically, zukhruf al-qawl is like whatever the thing may be, but due to cover it with something that is very appealing and enticing, and you don't see what's inside of it. I give you an example of a gift wrapping, right? A gift may be good or bad, it doesn't matter, right? But what matters is the wrapping. The wrapping is so exciting and so beautiful and so enticing that it makes you want to get this gift, makes you want to open it. So this is what the zukhruf al-qawl is. When wrong is made beautified, when wrong is said in such a way, in such an eloquent style, that it believes. Meaning, people really believe on it, and people want it. People want to do it. So he entices people with a decorative speech in delusion. Meaning, the things that sound beautiful to your ear, and the way they approach it, it sounds so real. It sounds so entertaining, it sounds so loving, and you want to believe in it. Today we see so many people, in the name of goodness, they are actually calling people away from Islam. All those beautiful websites, all those beautiful TV shows, all those programs, and you will be amazed. There's so much money is invested in this thing. Shayateen, before, back then, there used to be no media, but now, this zukhruf al-qawl is done through media. Things are made so beautiful. You know what this marketing style that we live in, all this advertisement and marketing that goes on, why do you think that almost every marketing advertisement, there's women there? Even if they're selling like something like a very manly thing, maybe like a axe or maybe tools or car building stuff or whatever it has to do with the manly stuff, maybe construction tools and all those things. Even then, they use women there. Why? Have you ever wondered? Because they want to entice and make everything sound so beautiful that you know what? This is exactly what you need. Allah says something else. Allah says, sleep on time. But no, the world says, no, let's stay up at night. Let's have fun, because nights are meant to be have fun in life. So everything turns the other way around. So we, you and I, as a human, we need to understand what Shaitan is doing to us, right? He is making everything beautiful. Another way you can understand this is think of a wallpaper. Let's see. There's a wall in your room which is not very clean and not very smooth, and it has some holes in it too. So instead of fixing the wall, you decided to put a wallpaper on it. You know what you just did? You hide all the flaws that the wall had, and you wrapped it in a beautiful covering of a wallpaper. Now all of a sudden you say, wow, how beautiful. This is one of the tactics of Dajjal will be. When the Dajjal will come, he will make things so beautiful, so beautified, the way he's going to present everything, that everybody is going to believe it. Today, people see all the wrong stuff that we learn in Quran, that Allah SWT says not to get involved in. People like it. People love the good wrapping of the stuff that you're not supposed to eat. The advertisement makes you entice you so much that you want to try it out. And people say, just try it out, it's okay. And once you try it out, you become addicted to it. And then you want it more, and you want it more. So bottom line from this ayah, that know your enemy, and it can be from men, it can be from jinn, it can be from anybody, and they come in a good, friendly manner. They advise you in such a way that you don't really feel that something wrong with that. This is why it is getting harder and harder, especially in today's time, using this media, social media, and the smartphone that people have in their hand. They don't mind anything doing that makes them distract from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying a solution. So leave them in that which they invent. Fadharhum bama yaftarun, meaning don't follow them. They may sound very beautiful, but you have to believe what Allah SWT is saying. So, and another way we can understand this ayah is that, you know, when they make wrong right, they also make right wrong too. They make what is right sound so horrible. You know, following the religion is too hard. And you hear this buzz going on, and you hear this negativity propaganda going on, and the good appears bad. And this is also one of the things, they make it sound so bad, the good stuff, and they make it sound so good, the bad stuff. So, let's make the dua that Allah SWT really, truly help us to come out from this trap that Shaitan puts around us. Ayah number 113, and it is so, the hearts of those who disbelieve in the hereafter will incline towards it, that is, deceptive speech, and that they will be satisfied with it, and that they will commit that which they are committing. If you think about it, we can all take this ayah upon ourselves. You know why? Because these are the hurdles that stops people coming towards guidance. People find religion boring because they find this dunya too attractive. أَفَغَيْرُ اللَّهِ التَّغِيِّ حَكَمًا وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكِتَابِ الْكِتَابَ مُفَصَّلًا. What do we learn here? Is it other than Allah I should seek as judge? Why, it is He who has revealed to you the book, meaning this Quran, explained in detail. And those to whom we previously gave the scripture know that it is sent down from your Lord in truth. So never be among the doubters. Allah SWT is clearly telling us in this ayah that what should you take? Zukhruf al-Qawl? Get impressed by it, get intimidated by it, and just start liking it, following it, doing it, or the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you think about it, there are only two ways, and those two ways lead to either Jannah or Jahannam. The choice is given in our hand. Whether you can get impressed with the worldly stuff and the qawl that the shaitan says, and people like shaitan says, or you can take the word of Allah. So, we can all make dua that Allah SWT make this Quran my priority instead of Zuhruf al-Qawl. Because at the end of the day, this is all Ghurura. Ghurura means deception, meaning the deceptions of life. And people, you know, if you ever wonder, if you get up in the morning, when people used to go to work, and maybe you used to go to work or school or somewhere, what do you see? You see thousands Thousands of cars going in a direction. Everybody's running. Everybody's in a hurry. Have you ever wondered why are they going and where are they going? What are they after? This is Zukhruful Qawul, meaning they find things so attractive, this dunya. They're doing it in a rut of doing it. And this coronavirus, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is making us realize it. What are we running after? Is that the life? People are finding so much time now and they are wondering what we were running after. We had no time to enjoy our own home that we paid so much money for. We had no time to enjoy our own family, which we think we love. People think that loving family means providing them with the good stuff. They don't realize that loving family means providing them with the quality time. So this Zukhruful Qawul is basically, you have a time to think about that this is something that we were all after, and it is nothing but deception. وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ صِدْقًا وَعَدْلًا. And this is also something very important we learn in ayah number 115. And you will see throughout this Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the sidq and adl. What are they? And the word of your Lord has been fulfilled in truth. Isn't that so? And in justice. Meaning, if we take Zukhruful Qawl in our life, if we give space to Zukhruful Qawl in our life, then this truth and justice will go away. So we need to realize what is it that we want? Sidq and adl or Zukhruful Qawl? Then, ayah number 116, and if you obey most of those of you, of that they are not but falsifying. Indeed, your Lord is most knowing of whose praise from his way, and he is most of the sorry about that. You know, we're talking about shaitan, and shaitan really does make things hard for us. Let's make dua. Everybody should say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, and let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us protected from the tactics of shaitan. And since we are learning about shaitan, and shaitan doesn't want us to know about that. So alhamdulillah, we were all involved in this explanation of shaitan, and shaitan said, let me teach you that you are not in control, I am. But you know what? We have Allah in our side. So we are in control with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, I don't know if you have learned ayah number 116 or not. Let me just begin with 115. And the word of your Lord has been fulfilled in truth and in justice. None can alter his word, and he is the hearing and the knowing. In this ayah we learn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that word of Allah matters a lot. It is not the word of shaitan. He cannot do anything. As long as you seek protection in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is Allah who can protect you. You know why? Because Allah's words are for real. And then we learn here, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajeem. Am I doing the right thing? Yes. Alhamdulillah. And if you obey most of those upon the earth, they will mislead you from the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Question. Do we really realize who is misleading us? Are we following shaitan? So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very clearly reminding us in these ayahs that if you obey most of those upon the earth, they will mislead you from the way of Allah. Highlight this ayah. You know why? Because this is what we see in majority happening in our lives and the lives of others. Because shayateen are out there everywhere and their job is to really take you away. Do you know when the baby is born, even before the baby is born, shaitan is sitting waiting there as soon as the baby comes in. So he touched the baby and he pokes the baby. We learn in an hadith that he pokes the baby, and this is why the baby, as soon as the baby comes out from the mother's womb, he cries. So what do we learn here? But while you're pregnant, while you're expecting, you should seek protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from shaitan in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know why? Because this will keep your child protected, inshallah. And this is exactly who did that? If you remember, we learned it. The wife of Imran, she did that. When she gave birth to Maryam alayhi salam, she gave in Allah's protection against shaitan. And this is what we need to do. We need to give ourselves in a protection of shaitan every single day, every time, or else shaitan will make things next to impossible. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it very clear that if you obey most of those upon the earth, they will mislead you. They will mislead you. Keep on reminding yourself in this protection ayah, basically in the Surah Ali Imran, we learned that. Inshallah, maybe in recap, you can ask this question. Right now, we are learning ayah number 116. And if you obey most of those upon the earth, they will mislead you. Ayah number 117, indeed, your Lord is most knowing of who strays from His way, and He is most knowing of the rightly guided. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that if whatever you do, whoever you follow, and Allah knows. So, now in ayah number 118, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about meat again, eating again. You know why? Because you are what you eat. If you pay attention to your food, inshallah, it will help you stay away from shaitan. Because shaitan wants you to eat wrong. And this is where it begins. If you remember the story of the Adam alayhi salam, shaitan enticed them. And inshallah, we will learn that story today too. So, eat of that meat upon which the name of Allah has been mentioned. If you are believers in His verses, highlight this ayah. People say, oh, you know what? We can eat the meat of the people of the book. They are the people of the book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clearly saying in this ayah, فَكُلُوا مِمَّا ذُكِرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ. So eat of that meat upon which the name of Allah has been mentioned. So tell me, do you think the people of the book really take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And you know what? And today, if you are not buying the meat from the reputable shop, you don't even know if the meat that is coming that you're eating, it has the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on it or not. So let's make the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for us to stay and only the halal morsel of food goes in our mouth. This is why shaitan is taking over in the majority of the people, because people are very fearless nowadays when it comes to eating. And now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from ayah number 119, He is telling us, and why should you not eat of that upon which the name of Allah has been mentioned? Meaning, how can you take it so easy? How can you take the ayahs of the Quran, which is halal and what haram, so lightly in the name of, what do you want me to do? You know, they're kids, they're happy, they just want to feel good, they can buy the McDonald's Happy Meal. So what? It's not going to make that much of a difference. And so what if I eat the meat of the people of the book? It's convenient, it's cheap, it's clean, it's organized, it's right there. It's affordable, so why shouldn't I eat? This is how people justify. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us the same question. And why should you not eat of that upon which the name of Allah has been mentioned, while He has explained in detail to you. Question: did Allah SWT explain this in detail to us? Then why do you think there are questions? Why do you think Muslims are divided in this issue? Why some Muslims say it is okay? Why some Muslims are trying to justify it's okay to do that? Didn't we learn yesterday that stay away from mutashabihat? Then why there's a debate going on, should we eat or should we not? Why is it you see in some culture Muslims eat it, in some cultures don't? And the Muslims who don't eat in their culture, the other Muslim boys and girls tell their Muslim friends, hey, your family is too rigid. My family eats it. They allow it. So this is the point that I number 119, we need to explain to ourselves. And so we are rest assured that it is by Allah SWT and we're trying to follow what Allah SWT says. He has forbidden you, excepting that to which you are compelled, meaning there's always an exception. And indeed, do many lead others astray through their own inclination without knowledge? Isn't that what we see so? Because when we see people doing that, and it justifies us. And shaitan entices us, you know what? Majority of the Muslims are doing it. Majority of the Muslims are taking riba. Majority of the Muslims are eating non-halal meat. Majority of the Muslims are wearing these clothes. Majority of Muslims are not covering themselves. Majority of the Muslims are not praying. So it's okay. So Allah SWT is saying, indeed, many lead others stray through their own inclination without even knowledge. Meaning Muslims don't even get it. A chance or time, or they don't have desire to find out if majority of Muslims are doing certain things, does that make it right? This is something to really ponder upon. Go home and highlight this ayah and read it again, ayah number 119. Indeed, your Lord, He is most knowing of the transgressors, ayah number 120. And leave that it is, desist from it what is apparent of sin. Meaning, zahir al-ism. What is zahir al-ism? Meaning something that is apparent of sin and what is concealed thereof. Indeed, those who earn blame for sin will be recompensed for that which they used to commit. This ayah is very, very relevant of today's time. You know, people may avoid the sins that are apparent. But for example, zina is an apparent sin and they won't do it in public, right? But people, do they stay away from the sin that is hidden? Today, because of the smartphones in the hands of every child, they may watch whatever. Right now, we're all sitting in our computer screen. I'm not watching you, and you're not watching me. You don't know what I'm watching in my screen right now, do you? You don't. So it is up to us. Unless we really believe in this ayah, unless we really know that Allah SWT is watching us, unless we really care about Allah SWT, unless we have akhirah as our focus, do you think people will stay away from watching haram? People don't even have to go out anymore. People don't even have to go to concerts anymore to watch whatever film they want to watch. They can watch it right in the fingertips, and it's for free, and it's available right there in the privacy of their room. Under the blanket, they can do whatever they want. So it is so important that we understand that the fear of Allah, the taqwa must be there. This is why Allah SWT talks about taqwa over and over again, because it is only taqwa that can keep people away. It is only taqwa that can keep people in control. You know, when kids are kids, then start teaching them about taqwa, meaning the fear of Allah SWT, in the way that they can understand with hikmah. Don't let them fear Allah, but let them fear the sins. Don't let them fear that Allah SWT is this and He's going to punish you. No, Allah SWT is loving, but let them fear the sins and make them fear so much that they themselves stay away from it, because you and I cannot be on top of their head all the time. So this is why it is so important that we fear Allah ourselves and we develop taqwa and make dua of taqwa every day. Allahumma inni as'aluka taqwa, as'aluka al-huda wa taqwa. Why? Because without taqwa, we won't be able to survive in today's lifetime. It is not easy for parents with young children to keep them safe, because kids cry so much and parents say, you know, he's a kid, so what? I'm just going to give the phone anyway. Mothers actually give the phone to the babies in the hands of a child who's not even 1 year old. They cannot even see the phone. They cannot even hold the phone, and they put some kind of a cartoon in it and they say, you know what, at least they're quiet. I don't have to watch, so I can scroll my Facebook. This is where the problem lies. Shaitan is making it so easy for people to stay away from Islam, from deen, from practicing, from religion, and then people find it so boring. And then, ayah number 121. In ayah number 121, we learn, and do not eat of that upon which the name of Allah has not been mentioned. Notice here. First Allah SWT told you to eat from what is mentioned. And now Allah SWT is saying, don't eat where the name is not mentioned. And people can still justify. It's okay. It is not zabiha. So what? It is perfectly okay for me. How can you and I ignore these ayahs which are so clear, so specific? For indeed, it is a grave disobedience. So who are we following? Allah SWT or Shaitan? Our own desire or Shaitan's? So, and indeed, Allah SWT is saying, وَإِنَّ شَيَاطِينَ لَيُوحُونَ إِلَىٰ أَوْلِيَائِهِمْ لِيُجَادِلُوكُمْ. What do we learn here? And indeed, do the Shaitan inspires their allies among men to dispute with you? Meaning, you will find people coming and argue with you. Don't be so rigid. You live in the West. Come on, take it easy. And if you were to obey them, indeed, you would be associators of others with him. So all this paragraph, what is it? What do we learn here? Islam is the religion of sidq and adl. If we don't take sidq and adl, meaning truth and justice, then shaitan takes over and then everything else becomes easy and there is no stopping for that. And people, since majority is following the shaitan, so people justify by the following the majority, you are okay too. So we learn here it is not okay. And then from then, ayah number 122 to 129, we learn about the beautiful ayah. And the topic here is that opening and tightening of the chest. Meaning, it's so beautiful and we'll understand, inshallah, what Allah SWT says here. And is one who was dead, and we gave him light and made for him light by which to walk among the people like one who is in the darkness, never to emerge therefrom. Thus, it has been made pleasing to the disbelievers that which they were doing. What do we understand in this ayah? Allah SWT is saying, the one who was dead and we gave him life, meaning the heart was dead. In this dunya, when people's hearts are dead, Allah SWT gave them light of Quran and made him light by which to walking among the people like one who is in the darkness, never to emerge therefrom. Thus, it has been made pleasing to the disbelievers that which they were doing. So let's make dua to Allah SWT that Allah SWT keep our hearts alive and we understand what is true and what is not. Ayah number 123, and thus we have placed within every city the greatest of its criminals to conspire therein. What do we learn here? There will be good people and bad people everywhere. The bad people will do all kinds of stuff. And this is why people justify it's okay. If the big people are doing it, if the people in the authority are doing it, and the ripple effects goes to the people are a common layman. When the organizations do wrong things, people as an individual, they follow and they justify. If they can do it, I can too. This is why you see the ripple effect of wrong from small merchants to the largest merchant and the people who run the country, and it trickles down to the people. This is why we need to understand what are the tactics of Shaitan, how is he making the plan, and how is he working. And when a sign comes to them, they say, never will we believe until we are taken like that which we given to the messengers of Allah. Allah is most knowing of where, that is with whom he placed his message. They will afflict that those who commit crimes, debasement before Allah, and severe punishment for what they used to conspire. So, whoever Allah wants to guide, I want you to highlight this ayah number 125, because Allah SWT says, people who do not want to be guided, Allah SWT don't open their chest. But people who want to be guided, Allah SWT open and expands their chest. What do we learn here is this? فَمَنْ يُرِدَ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. Allah, make us among those for whom you open the chest to accept Islam. He expands his breast to contain Islam. And whoever he wants to send stray, he makes his breast tightens and constricts as though he were climbing into the sky. Thus does Allah place defilement upon those who do not believe. What do we learn? When people find following Islam easy, this means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has expanded their chest. When people find the commands of Allah saints to do, this means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has expanded their chest. So we can all long for this dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make this Quran easy for me. Make every command easy for me. Make this religion fun for me. People find fun in this dunya. I find fun in this Quran. There's a beautiful dua of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam about that too. When people are getting excited by going to shopping and doing all those stuff, I want to get excited when I put my head down on the floor for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something we can all ask. And Musa alayhi salam asked this dua to expand my chest. رَبِّ شْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَحْلُ الْأُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. So this is a dua we need to ask. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, expand my chest, our chest for this Islam. And what do we say? يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. Open up my chest for Islam. So I find Islam easy. I find Islam the truth. And I am able to take all what Islam is talking about. And for those Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it hard, what happens? Dayiqa. Their sadra who? Dayiqa. Haraja. Meaning their chest becomes so tightened, so restricted, they run away. When these people are invited to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they say, no, I don't have time. Then when they are called that this is not right and this is right, they say, you're being too much. I don't want to listen to all this. Life is one. Just do it. Just live only. So, may Allah save us all from the tightness of the chest. Ameen. And, وَهَذَا صِرَاطُ رَبِّكَ مُسْتَقِيمًا قَدْ فَصَّلْنَا الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمٍ يَذَكِّرُونَ. What do we learn in this ayah? And, this is the path of your Lord, leading straight. We have detailed the verses for people who remember. What do we learn here? People who learn the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people who try to learn from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the chest. For them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy. So, for them will be the home of the peace. لَهُمْ دَارُ السَّلَامِ لَهُمْ دَارُ السَّلَامِ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَهُوَ وَلِيُّهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Notice here Allah SWT is saying, for what they used to do, because of what they used to do, Allah SWT will have the home of peace for them. Imagine if home of peace is in this dunya. You know how it can be? If we follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this house, this dunya will become home of peace so that we can really long for the home of peace in the akhirah. You know why? Because if we live by the commands of Allah, now imagine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that stay away from haram, right? So obviously when you stay away from haram, you will have contentment in your heart. And then you will be satisfied, you will be earning halal income, then you won't be going out of your way to do something haram. All of a sudden, now you will start loving your family because you are happy and content. You will find peace in your home. You're not doing anything wrong. So imagine, if we want the peace, the home of peace, Darus Salaam, in the Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bring the glimpse of it in this dunya if we do the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way they're supposed to be followed. And mentioned Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the day when he will gather them together and say, O company of jinn, you have misled many of mankind. And their allies among mankind will say, our Lord, some of us made use of others, and we have now reached our term which you appointed for us. He will say, the fire is your residence, wherein you will abide eternally, except for what Allah wills. Indeed, your Lord is wise and knowing. And thus, we make some of the wrongdoers allies of others, and for what they used to earn. You know, shaitan comes in the form of a friend. Shaitan comes in the form of a well-wisher. Shaitan comes sometimes in the form of a family, sometimes in the form of a best friend. So we need to be really careful and we need to know who shaitan really is and how he acts and how he attacks. Ayah number 130 to 140, we learn self-created laws. What does that mean? In this paragraph, we will learn when people invent things on their own. O company of jinn and mankind, did there not come to you messengers from among you, relating to you my verses and warning you of the meeting of the day of yours? Question. Did the warning come to us? Are we getting this Quran? Are we learning the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? My verses and warning you of the meeting of the day of yours, they will say, we bear witness against ourselves and the worldly night had deluded them. And they will bear witness against themselves and that they were disbelievers. Let's say the dua. Let's take a 1 minute break and let's all of us say the dua that we just learned this morning, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps the shaitan away from us. That is because your Lord would not destroy the cities for wrongdoing while their people were unaware, and for all our degrees, that is position, resulting from what they have done, and your Lord is not unaware of what you do. And your Lord is the free of need, the possessor of the mercy. What is Allah Ta'ala saying here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghani. He doesn't need you and I. He doesn't need our worship. He doesn't need us to follow the laws. Only it is for our own good. You know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَبُّكَ الْغَنِيِّ ذُو الرَّحْمَةِ. He is ghani. He is free of the need. And He is the possessor of the mercy. He does not need anybody. We need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us, telling us exactly how shaitan attacks on you. You know, in this dunya, when we go through some kind of a problem, you know what we do? We try to strategize. We try to plan for it. We try to plan such a way that how can we solve this problem? What can we do to stay away from this problem? So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, this is how shaitan's tactics work. And now you should plan for it. How can you stay away from his tactics? How can you protect yourself from shaitan? How can you move forward to get the home of peace? And this is where the Quran comes in. And this is where the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes in. And this is where opening of the chest comes in. Ay Allah, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, open up my chest so I can take Quran, the Islam, fully, wholeheartedly, so that shaitan doesn't come and bother me. Indeed, what you are promised is coming, and you will not cause failure. Meaning, there is no doubt. Say, O my people, work according to your position, for indeed, I am working, and you are going to know who will have succession in the home. Indeed, the wrongdoers will not succeed. And they, that is parties, assigned to Allah from that which He created of crops and livestock, are shared and say, this is for Allah, by their claim, and this is for our partners, meaning associated with Him. But what is for their partners does not reach Allah, while what is for Allah, this reaches their partners. Evil is that which they rule. In ayah number 136, we learn about some Arab, some tradition that Mushrikeen had. They used to have the crop that would yield, and they would bring it, and they would divide it into three portions. They would keep one portion to themselves, and one portion for Allah, and one portion for their idols. And you know what? If the crop was less or something, they would take a last portion and give it to idols. Meaning, they would take away a last portion altogether. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, how wretched of the thing they did. And you know what made them do that? Shaitan made them do that. Shaitan said, you know, you should worship idols because they will get mad and then you'll have the hardship. Allah, what Allah? It's okay. If you take Allah's share, Allah's not going to mind. And this is how shaitan enticed. And shaitan tells people, do this and do that. And don't worry about it. You can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help. And you can say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafoor rahim. Have you ever heard this sentence a lot? Talking to people, when you tell them, oh, you know what, this is not right, so I'm not going to do it. They say, oh, forget it. You're young. Just enjoy. Allah is ghafoor rahim.
And this is also from Shaitan. Shaitan needs you to believe that yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ghafoorur Rahim, and you can get away with murder and Allah will not catch you. And likewise, to many of the polytheists, their partners have made to seem pleasing the killing of their children in order to bring about their destruction and to cover them with confusion in their religion. Do we see that today? People, in the name of free life, first of all, when they don't get married because they don't want children. If they do get married, you know what people say? We're enjoying our life. We don't want to have kids. And if they do have kids and they get pregnant, if they don't want it, you know what they do? This is not the right time for me. And they don't even mind. And they get the abortion done without even feeling anything. And this is from Shaitan. Shaitan is making you say that. Shaitan is making you live outside relationship without the wedlock, which we see so common nowadays. And then, basically, what happened was to bring about their destruction and to cover them with confusion in their religion. People are confused about their own religion. Don't we see this today? People just don't know what is right and what is wrong. And people ask the same question to ulama and the shuyukh all the time. Should I do this? Should I put my hand on my chest on my stomach? And should I wear this? Should my ankles should be showing or not? Simple stuff people talk about all the time. And they get busy in that. And they're so confused. And they forget the big picture of Islam. And they don't know what is right and what is wrong. And they end up committing big mistakes. And in the name of, it's just love. It's okay. There's nothing serious. They're all living. Husband and wife, the boy and a girl. So what? And this is all from Shaitan. And if Allah had willed, they would not have done so. So leave them and that which they invent. Meaning, if people want to know, Allah would guide. This is what it means. Ayah number 138. And they say, these animals and crops are forbidden. No one may eat from them except whom we will by their claim. And there are those camels whose backs are forbidden by them, and those upon which the name of Allah is not mentioned, and all of this an invention of untruth about Him. He will punish them for what they were inventing. This was the tradition of Arabs. They used to do some animals sacrifice for the name of Allah, and they would not use them for transport or for eating or anything else, because they would devote themselves for their idols. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, this is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them. And you know what? Today, you will be surprised to hear that in some Muslim countries, this goes on right now as we speak. There are people, there are shrines where people go and drop their babies and they take them in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they're not really living the normal life. And sometimes, you know, they abuse the child so much that they actually make them a beggar. Sometimes they cut their hands off. Sometimes they put some kind of a defect in their body, so they become beggar. And it is organized crime. It is a mafia. It is being done in a big scale. And they put, when the baby is given to them, they put some kind of a cap on their head made of metal or something, so their head doesn't grow. And the babies look distorted. The faces goes bad. And they say, now people will give them money, because now they will feel sorry for them. And this is all from Shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say that. And you know, there's so much jahiliyyah, so much ignorance. This is why we need to learn this book. This is why you and I need to speak up and let the world know, let the people, our own Muslims know, that they are committing shirk. And this is from Shaitan. How, you know, sometimes I wonder, how can we sleep so easily? How can we enjoy our world? How can we live the life of peace here and not really realizing it? So many people are committing shirk in different ways. And they say, what is in the bellies of these animals is exclusively for our males and forbidden to our females. Today also we see that. They say, you know what? This female woman should not be eating this. This is not right. And the male are doing this, and this is not right. The things that they're making, which is not really by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these are the inventions in the deen, and Muslims are doing it in the name of Islam. But if it is born dead, then all of them have shares in there, and therein, He will punish them for their destruction. Indeed, He is wise and knowing. Let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really, truly give us the ability to speak up and let the people know that shirk will take you to Jahannam. Shirk is unforgivable sin. Shirk is one of the major sins. And when shirk is there, then this means that it is not forgiven. We are learning oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawheed, and shaitan wants people to do shirk. And this is why people do all kinds of good stuff. Today, here in this country, also, do you know that there is a disciple group of satanic disciples? They actually worship shaitan. They go, they gather together, they do sujood to shaitan. They undress themselves in front of some person. And they say, this is because we're pleasing the shaitan. And they openly say, the devil worshippers. We are the devil worshippers. Who's doing all this? This is the shayateen. They're making people do all kinds of filth stuff. There's a beach, this called in Miami, Florida, it's called Nudity Beach. You can only enter there but then you unload yourself 100%. Why? Because shaitan is making you on doing all of these things. May Allah really protect us, our children, from all these things, because in the name of freedom, they say they are free to choose their religion and they choose to worship devil. And there are so many conspiracies or realities that devil is watching you and devil is controlling you. And there's a secret society, there's a Illuminati group. All this is what? This is shaitan. And they will have lost who killed their children in foolishness without knowledge and prohibited what Allah has provided for them, inventing untruth about Allah. May Allah save us all from inventing untruth about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have gone astray and were not rightly guided. May Allah save us all and truly guide us and our ummah, inshallah. From ayah number 141 to 144, we learn the topic of this paragraph is, don't follow the footsteps of shaitan. After knowing what shaitan does, we really need to have the strategy. How can we follow the shaitan? We should not be doing that. Ayah number 141. And it is he who causes gardens to grow, both trellised and untrellised. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you so much beauty in this dunya. And if you only ponder upon the nature, you will get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, there are some plants, some trees that grow by themselves. They don't need any kind of support. But some plants, they need support. Like, for example, you know, have you ever seen the grapevine? Grapevine grows on some kind of a tree and you need to have some kind of a trellis that can grow over it, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created so many varieties. Some trees does not need any support and some needs trellis to grow on and palm trees and crops of different kinds of food and olives and pomegranates, similar and dissimilar. You know, sometimes, let's take an example of an olive only. How many varieties do you think they have in the world out there? And if you go to I think there's a grocery store right here. It's called Kroger in our area. And if you go there, they have a olive bar there. And they have at least, I would say, I didn't really count, but it appears to be maybe around 20 varieties of olives there. And this is just what is available in front of our eyes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, he has created so many varieties of everything. If you pick up only one apple, there's 20 different kinds of apple. Why? Who's doing this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And people ignore all these things. Even though they enjoy everything, they eat it, they still follow and have partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They still follow and become a disciples of shaitan. May Allah really protect us. Eat of its fruit when it yields and give its due zakah on the day of its harvest. And be not excessive. Indeed, he does not like those who commit excesses. What do we learn in this ayah? Do you know that the zakah is due on a crop yield too? People sometimes only think that the zakah is only due on your jewelry. Zakah is due on your assets too. Zakah is due on your 401k too. Zakah is due in any kind of saving that you may have from 1 year. And zakah is due when a farmer harvests their crop. They have to pay zakah on it. There's a whole ruling. There's a whole chart. How much zakah is due if the water is through by the rain. If the water is given by the irrigation system, then it's 10% they have to give. If the water is coming from the rain, then they have to pay 20% of it in zakah. And I don't know if people who are in a farming business, they actually follow these laws or not. This is something needs to be investigated. and, you know, create awareness for that. And be not excessive, meaning stay within the limits that Allah SWT has told you. Indeed, He does not like those who commit excess. Ayah number 142. And of the grazing livestock are carriers of burdens, and those too small, meaning Allah SWT is saying those camels, you use them, and the donkeys, you use them to hold your stuff, and there are some animals who are small. Eat of what Allah has provided for you, and do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. Why? Because people invent stuff on their own, and they end up following the shaitan. If people try to question, and they don't follow their own desire, they will know what is right and what is wrong. When people follow the majority blindly, that's when they become the followers of the shaitan. So what do we learn here? Be a thinker. Think about whatever you eat and whatever you do, because if you don't, then the falling of the shaitan becomes easy. And the shaitan says, I just entice you, I don't really force you, but you're the one who's falling. And on our day of judgment, shaitan will turn against us. You know why? Because shaitan will say, I didn't really tell you anything. I was just giving you empty promises. So Allah SWT is saying, eat of what Allah has provided for you, and do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. Indeed, he is to you a clear enemy. Adu wa mubin, highlight this part. Write it somewhere, written it, print it out, put it in your fridge, put it in your where you wash your dishes. The shaitan is my clear enemy, so that we can stay focused and we know. And in ayah number 143, Allah SWT tells us what is halal for you to eat. There are 8 maids. What are they? Of a sheep, 2 of the goats, and 2 say, is it the 2 males he has forbidden, or the 2 females that which the womb of the 2 females contain? Inform me with knowledge if you should be truthful. Allah SWT is saying, and of camel, 2 of the camel's cattle, 2 say, is it the 2 males he has forbidden, or the 2 females, or that which wombs of the 2 females contain? Or were you witness when Allah SWT charged you with this? Then who is more unjust, that one who invents a lie about Allah SWT to mislead the people by something other than knowledge? Indeed, Allah does not guide the wrongdoing people. All the misconception people made up. What we learn here is that laws are made by Allah SWT. You and I cannot create and invent anything new in it. What is made halal, it is halal. What is made haram, it is haram. And people, out of love of the Prophet, out of love of the things, they say, you know what? I don't feel like eating this thing, so I will make it haram upon me. No, you and I cannot do that. Say, I do, in the ayah number 145 to 150, we learn that Allah SWT is the one who makes laws. Say, yeah, I do not find within that which was revealed to me anything forbidden to one who would eat it, unless it be a dead animal. This is saying who? Prophet ﷺ saying, you know, I don't find any ayah in the Quran which tells me that if the female is pregnant and the carrying and all these ayahs that we just learned, that you're not supposed to be eating it. Where is the proof for that? Did Allah SWT says it in the Quran? Did Allah SWT says it? No. If you don't have a proof, then you should tell them that I would do only what Allah has revealed upon me. Anything forbidden to one that would eat it, unless it be a dead animal. So Allah SWT has listed something that is not right. And what is that? The dead animal, or the blood spilled out, or the flesh of a swine. These are the 4 things that are not allowed. For indeed, it is impure. This is why. Or it be that slaughtered in disobedience, meaning in the name of somebody else, dedicated other than Allah. But whoever is forced by necessity, neither desiring it nor transgressing its limits, then indeed your Lord is forgiving and merciful. Listen, we're supposed to be eating everything except these 4 things. We cannot make things halal and haram upon ourselves. Today, in the name of animal cruelty, people don't eat meat. There is one thing, if you don't want to eat it because you don't like it. But in the name of animal cruelty, some Muslims, especially young generations, they say, no, I feel guilty eating meat. How can you feel guilty when Allah SWT made the meat halal? You should not be feeling guilty. And that's how they actually put it up. And you know, I watched one of the video that was a vegan-friendly video, and they were encouraging people to become vegan. And she said, you know, imagine you love your dog, and your dog is such a cute poodle, and you're playing around, and somebody cuts this poodle and cook it and roast it for you and put it on a table. Astaghfirullah. So she was making people feel bad. How can you eat the dog that you love? So you should not be eating any meat. Allah SWT says, we created meat for eating, so eat it. It's okay. How can people say, and you know, this is very important that we talk about this to our youngsters too, because they are the one who is getting information, bombardment of information to become vegan. Being vegan is okay as long as you don't deny, as long as you don't make haram upon yourself. So, but whoever is forced by necessity, neither desiring it nor transgressing its limits, then indeed your Lord is forgiving and merciful. And to those who are Jews, we prohibited every animal of uncloven hoof and of the cattle and the sheep. We prohibited to them their fat except what adheres to their backs or the entrails of what is joined with the bone. By what? By that we repaid them for their transgression, and indeed we are truthful. So if they deny you, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say your Lord is the possessor of the vast mercy, but his punishment cannot be repelled from the people who are criminals. Notice here in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about his mercy and his punishment, both in the same ayah. Some people say, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only merciful. Then for them, you should highlight this ayah, ayah number 147, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Zurb rahma wasi'atin wa la yuraddu ba'suhu anil qawmi mujrimeen. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is there, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also will catch the criminals too, when people disobey Allah. And ayah number 148, those who associate others with Allah will say, if Allah had willed, we would not have associated anything, and neither would our fathers, nor would we have prohibited anything. Likewise, did those before deny until they tasted our punishment, say, do you have any knowledge that you can produce for us? You follow not except assumptions, and you are not but misguiding. Today, we see people are living under assumptions when it comes to Islam. I assume this is right. I think this is the wrong thing to do. And this assumption is not allowed in Islam. Whatever you and I, the lesson here for us is, whatever you and I say and believe and do, we have to have some strong backing. And that backing has to come from Quran and Sunnah. Sometimes people follow things in the name of, my Sheikh said so, my Alim said so, my Ulama has taught me. Even then, you should know. You should verify, you know, you can even verify this platform as well if you want, that are they teaching you the right stuff or not? This Nurul Quran is the right place or not? Because if they are attaching you with something else, then they are not right either. So always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, show me the truth is the truth, and show me batil is a batil, so I can stay away from the batil. Allahumma arina haqqa haqqan warzuqna tiba'a wa arina batila batilan. So what do we learn here? That we cannot make assumptions about deen. If somebody's telling you something, you have to make sure that there's a reference there. This is why when you pass on forward something, the ayah or the hadith, in the WhatsApp or wherever, make sure that it is authentic before you hit forward button. Say, with Allah is the far-reaching, that is conclusive argument. If He had willed, He would have guided you all. Meaning, it is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bring forward your witnesses who will testify that Allah has prohibited this. And if they testify, do not testify with them. And do not follow the desires of those who deny our verses and those who do not believe in the hereafter, while they acquaint others with their Lord. Say, come, I will recite what your Lord has prohibited to you. Qul ta'alaw, atlu ma harrama rabbukum alaykum. I will recite what your Lord has prohibited to you. Question. Are we learning the ayahs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and finding out what is prohibited and what is not? If we are, then make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for us to really implement and understand each and every command. He commands that you not associate anything with Him. In this ayah, we learn the sequence. We learn the sequence of how to follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what comes next. So if we have the sequence right, following the deen, inshallah will be successful. What is the sequence? Number one thing that is prohibited is you do not associate anything with Him, meaning shirk. Cut out the shirk from the life, any and all kinds. We learn in the hadith, shirk is something that is so minute. When it comes in the people's heart, people don't even know it. So we learn in the hadith that it is described as a black ant walking on a black rock in a dark night and it's not visible. Try to imagine that. Do you think you can see the black ant on a black rock in a black night, dark night? You can't. So sometimes shirk comes in our life and we don't realize it. So it is extremely important that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us free of shirk. And next thing, right after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the list is about parents. And to parents, good treatment. And do not kill your children out of the poverty, meaning no abortion is allowed. We will provide for you and them. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who provides, right? And do not approach immoralities. Why? Because immoralities means that you are following the footsteps of shaitan. What is apparent of them and what is concealed? And do not kill the soul which Allah has forbidden to be killed except by legal right. He instructed you that you may use reason. Ayah number 152. And do not approach the orphan's property except in a way that is best, that is intending improvement until he reaches maturity, and give full measures and weight in justice. What do we learn here? First, you have to be nice to the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by being believing in Allah, you're alone. Then take care of your parents, and then take care of other people. And then you come back to what? Taking care of the orphans. And then you do the business dealings right. We, as Muslims, think that Islam is about rituals only. No, everything comes under Islam. Doing the business right and justly. Do not have zukhruful qawl in business marketing. Do not have false advertisement about your product. This product is capable of doing this and that. And at the end of the day, that product doesn't have all these things. Today, we see all kinds of wrong business tactics, whether it's on the smallest level possible. There was a person whose job was to buy the mangoes, and he would sell the mangoes at the end of the day, and he would save enough money to buy the next day some mangoes to sell them again. And this was his business, and that's how he would buy the food for his family. You know what happened? One day he got up and he bought the mangoes, and he was trying to sell them, and he was crying. So this person asked him, "Why are you crying?" He said, "You know what? What am I going to do now? Because when I bought this mangoes today, the top layer is perfect. This is why I bought this. But the bottom, all mangoes are already rotten. So how am I going to sell these rotten mangoes? And my money is wasted. How am I going to continue keep on doing my business and feed my family?" You know, people do all kinds of deception when it comes to business. May Allah save us all from all this. We do not charge any soul except with that within its capacity. And when you speak, that is testified, be just. Listen, you and I, whenever we talk, we have to be very honest and just. In the name of Islam, sometimes in the name of family, sometimes in the name of love of kids, we sometimes do injustice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, be just, even if it concerns a near relative. Meaning, it's not okay for you and I to say, "Oh, when it comes to your sister, you can just protect her. No, she didn't do this." And when it comes to somebody else, "He did that." No, it is not right to do that. And the covenant of Allah fulfilled, this has He instructed you that you may remember. And moreover, this is my path which is straight, so follow it. Sirati Mustaqima. فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. You know, we ask about Surat al-Mustaqim in Surat al-Fatiha. Allah SWT is giving this instruction. How can you be on the Surat al-Mustaqima? فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. Highlight this word. We can be on the Surat al-Mustaqima if we follow. فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. Meaning, follow it. Only then you will be on the Surat al-Mustaqim. And do not follow other ways, for you will be separated from His way. This has He instructed you, that you may become righteous. Do we want to become righteous? Isn't that the dua that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every single day? If we do, then we must follow the deen the way it is. Ayah number 154. Then we gave Musa the scripture, making complete our favor upon the one who did good, that is Musa, and as a detailed explanation of all the things as guidance and mercy, that perhaps in the meeting with their Lord, they would believe. What do we learn in this ayah? That Musa was also giving the instructions, clear instructions. Ayah number 155 to 161. The topic of this paragraph you can write, breaking the law will have its consequences. People cannot get away. You know why? Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is instructing us to be just, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is extremely just. So if we need to be just, we should not expect injustice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why we need to know we are what we do. So, Ayah number 155. And this Quran is a book we have revealed, which is blessed. So follow it. So follow it. I want you to highlight this word again. فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. Why should we follow the Quran? Because Quran is a book that is full of barakah. When people find hardness in their life, when people find things tough, that is because the Quran is not there. Allah SWT says, bring Quran in your life. It will fill your life with barakah. People complain, I don't have enough time. I cannot get that work done. My to-do list is not complete at the end of the day. And that makes me frustrated. Bring Quran in your life. You will have barakah in your time. Bring Quran in your life. You will have barakah in your money. Bring Quran in your life. You will have barakah in your love, in your respect, in your society, in your eating, in your everything you do. Allah will put barakah in your time. And we have revealed which is blessed, to follow it. فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. This barakah will come how? When we follow the Quran. And fear Allah that you may receive mercy. What did we learn here? Mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is contingent upon following the Quran. So let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly make this Quran the light of our heart. Ayah number 156. We revealed it lest you say, the scripture was only sent down to two groups before us, but we were of their study unaware. Or, lest you say, if only the scripture had been revealed to us, we would have been better guided than they. So, there has now come to you a clear evidence from your Lord and guidance and mercy. Question. Clear evidence is here, right? Then, who is more unjust than one who denies the verses of Allah and turns away from them? Do not make us among those who put this Quran in a behind burner and move and live the life the way they want to. We will recompense those who turn away from our verses with the words of the punishment for their having turned away. Ayah number 158. Do they then wait for anything except that the angels should come to them, or your Lord should come, or that there come some of the signs of your Lord? The day that some of the signs of your Lord will come, no soul will benefit from its faith as long as it had not believed before or had earned through its faith some good. Say, wait, indeed, we also are waiting, meaning time is of the essence. Our faith will not help us there. It will help us here when we live our life by it. Ayah number 159. Indeed, those who have divided their religion and become sects, you, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are not associated with them in anything. Their affairs is only left to Allah. And then He will inform them about what they used to do. May Allah save us from this ending. And may Allah keep us united. And we're not divided into many groups. Ayah number 160, whoever comes on the day of judgment with a good deed will have 10 times the life thereof to his credit. So, you know what it means? It means to not consider even a tiny deed that you can just let go. You know why? Because each deed that you do, it's basically you're giving up. If you don't do, that means you're giving up 10 deeds in on its behalf. What it means is that no deed is tiny. No small deed is small. So in this month of Ramadan, run towards goodness. Remember, وَصَارِيُوا فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ, right? So this is what we need to do. Take everything in abundance. Even in normal days, if the deed is 10 times, imagine the month of Ramadan. And whoever comes with an evil deed will not be recompensed except the like thereof. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies good deeds, but he doesn't multiply bad deeds. Imagine if we would do that too. All bad deeds, each bad deed multiplies 10 times. No, but this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful, because he wants to do everything good to us that we don't get burned in the hellfire. And they will not be wronged. Say, indeed, my Lord has guided me to a straight path. You and I can say that right now. Alhamdulillah, Allah is guiding us to a straight path. At least we have started walking towards a straight path. Qul innani hadani rabbi. You should fill your heart with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you say, innani hadani rabbi ila sirati mustaqim. A correct religion. Which is the correct religion? A religion of Allah, that is only one religion, and it is called the religion of peace, Islam. The way Ibrahim, inclining towards the truth, and he was not among those who associate others with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, may Allah make all of us among, like the one who Ibrahim alayhi salam was. Ayah number 162 to 165. Become Allah's 100%. You know why? Because we learned this beautiful ayah. I want you to highlight this ayah in your books. قُلْ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةِ. Say indeed, my prayer. وَنَسُكِي. My rites of sacrifice. وَمَحْيَايَ. And my living. وَمَمَاتِ. And my dying. لِلَّهِ. Is for Allah. Who is Allah? رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Lord of the worlds. If this is the compass of our life, that my prayer, my whatever do I do, whatever sacrifices I do, my living, my death, everything belongs to Allah. Might as well give myself in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like a dead body is lying down on a place where they're giving shrouding. Why? Because only then you will have the friction-free life. Today, people find hard to come to deen. You know why? Because they are living life of a friction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you to go in one direction. People like to go in the other direction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to do something. Society is telling to do something else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you to wear something. Society is telling the clothes which are totally opposite. And this is where the friction comes. So when a person totally loosens its muscle, you know when they say you have a muscle pain, that means your muscles are tightened. So relax your muscle. And they give you a muscle relaxant, and the doctors give you and a physiotherapist tells you that relax your body, take it easy, let yourself go. When you let your muscles go, you feel relaxed. Your muscles are not really tightening, and then you don't feel the pain then. Try to experience the same thing. When you and I give us ourselves in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your body will be relaxed. It will take it easy. You will feel the love of Allah. Now, you know what? Nothing is in the hands of human anyway. Might as well just leave myself in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Become a puppet. Have you ever seen the puppet show? Become a puppet in a way that nothing is in your hand. Everything is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The puppeteer is running the puppet. So if you give yourself in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make decisions for you. And you will be enjoying this life happily. No partners has he, and that, and this I have been commanded, and I am the first among you of the Muslims. Who will make us among those who are first to submit. Say, is it other than Allah I should desire as a Lord, while he is the Lord of all things? And every soul earns not a blame except against itself. What do we learn here is that وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى, meaning Allah SWT is saying everybody will bear the burden for themselves, and no bearer of the burden will bear the burden of another. Then to your Lord is your return, and He will inform you concerning that over which you used to differ. People in this dunya sometimes make excuses. I am doing this because of that and because of this. Because you want, what do you need to do? The society is doing that. They are all doing it. If I don't do it, I will not get enough share. My sales will go down if I don't sell this. And people say, it is the society. It is the company. It is the people. It is a country. It is the place. It is the family. It is the husband. It is the wife. It is the children. Allah is saying, on the day of judgment, you will be for yourself. You will not be taking care of others, and they will not be taking care of you. So who should you think and who should you work for? The answer to this question is, give yourself in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In ayah number 165, the last ayah of the surah, and it is He who has made you successors upon the earth and has raised some of you above others in degrees of ranks, that He may try you through what He has given you. Indeed, your Lord is swift in penalty, but indeed, He is forgiving and merciful. Here, inshallah, we're going to listen to the recitation of the first few ayah of the Surah Al-A'raf. And while you're listening to the Surah Al-A'raf, I want you to pay attention for what we have learned and write down some action points for yourself that you're planning to take. How you're going to save yourself from shaitan. How you're going to protect your family from shaitan. What are some of the steps one by one you can take to move forward in a way where we can give 100% to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because unless and until we protect from shaitan, we seek refuge in Allah against shaitan, we will not be able to give ourselves in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's listen to the recitation and then we'll continue.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم صاد كتاب أنزل إليك فلا يكن في صدرك حرج منه لتنذر به وذكرى للمؤمنين اتبعوا ما أنزل إليكم من ربكم ولا تتبعوا من دونه أولياء قليلا ما تذكرون وكم من قرية أهلكناها فجاءها بأسنا بياتا أو هم قائلون فما كان دعواهم إذ جاءهم بأسنا إلا أن قالوا إنا كنا ظالمين.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ميم صاد. These are the huruf muqatta'at, only Allah knows their meaning. Ayah number 2. This is a book revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so let there not be in your breast distress therefrom, that you may warn thereby, and as a reminder to the believers. What do we learn in this ayah, in this paragraph? Ayah number 1 to 10, you can write the topic of this, is purpose of revelation. What is it? That this book came for the guidance of the mankind, not just seeking the reward and the shifa from it. Follow, O mankind, what has been revealed to you from your Lord, and do not follow other than Him any allies. Little do you remember. And how many cities have we destroyed, and our punishment came to them at night or while they were sleeping at noon. What do we learn here? Allah SWT is telling us that previous nations, they were destroyed because of their sins, while they did not know. Today, also, sometimes people here, we see all the time that somebody was sleeping and they never woke up. And somebody was really busy doing something and all of a sudden their head fell down. So what you and I learn from this is the time that we're breathing, sitting freely, this is the time we need to remember what we need next in our lives. And their declaration when our punishment came to them was only that they said, indeed, we were wrongdoers. Then we will surely question those to whom a message was sent, and we will surely question the messengers. Can you imagine? Allah SWT will question the messengers too. What about you and I? Do you think we can just have the wishful thinking that Allah SWT is Ghafoorur Rahim? Then we will surely relate their deeds to them with knowledge, and we were never absent. You know, on a day of judgment, Allah SWT will display your deeds and my deeds in open. In this dunya, we can hide our deeds. People don't know. Sometimes the person sitting next to us don't know what we're thinking about that person. But Allah SWT will open up everything. Imagine if this happens in this dunya. And the weighing of the deeds, the day will be the truth. So those whose scales are heavy, it is they who will be the successful ones. Notice here, Allah SWT is saying, فَمَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Meaning, worry about the weight of the things. Worry about your deeds, how they're going to weigh, not the quality, not the quantity. People sometimes say, oh, I have recited 20 tarawees, and I have recited 2 juz and 6 juz, and in one night I was able to recite the whole Quran. Alhamdulillah. But is that the right thing to do? No. You know why? Because Allah SWT will ask you that what was the quality of the deed that you performed? Was it for the number or was it for the quality? You know, Allah SWT cannot give you something based on your quantity, because quantity may be a lot. But if there is no niyyah, for example, a person gave $100. This is $100 in a donation. But if the intention was to show off, those $100 will be counted? No. So what we learn here is that we need to worry about our intention. Quality means that it has to have the right intention. It has to be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has to be with sincerity. And it has to be the best way possible. So in this month of Ramadan, when we are fasting, we should know we want to do the best when we're fasting. Fast from everything else, not just stay hungry. When we are reciting Quran, know that we need to recite the Quran the best way possible, not just finish ayah upon ayah. And those whose scales are light, they are the ones who will lose themselves for what injustice they were doing towards our verses. May Allah save us from this bad ending, when people may have done a lot of good deeds, they're thinking they've done a lot of good deeds, but on the day of judgment, their scales will be light. You know why? Because intention was not there. You know why? Because they were doing it for the dunya reason. You know why? Because they may be doing it for the reward and the appraiser. You know why? Because they were happy and people used to praise them, and they will be getting nothing there. May Allah save us from that. Ayah number 10. And we have certainly established you upon the earth and made you therein ways of livelihood. Little are you grateful. In this ayah we learn, yes, go out, earn money. Are men supposed to go out and they're supposed to earn and they're supposed to feed and make this world a livelihood? Why? So we can be grateful. What we learn here is that it's Allah's blessings. Allah SWT has given you. Use your skills to benefit the ummah and then be grateful about that. From ayah number 11 to 22, the topic you can write, humanity from heavens to earth. How did it begin? It began from the heavens and then it came down to earth. Allah SWT is saying, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ صَوَّرْنَاكُمْ ثم قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس لم يكن من الساجدين. And we have certainly created you, mankind, and given you human form. Then we said to the angels, prostrate to Adam. So they prostrated, except for what? Iblis. He was not of those who prostrated. Allah said, what prevented you from prostrating when I commanded you? Shaitan said, I am better than him. I want you to number these things down in your notebook. So what are the qualities of Shaitan? This is why he became Shaitan. So we can check ourselves against this checklist if we have any of these qualities or not. So he had this arrogance. This is why he said, I am better than him. You created me from fire and created him from clay. Then Allah said, descend from it, meaning the paradise, for it is not for you to be arrogant therein. So get out. Indeed, you are of the disdain. قال انزلني إلى يوم يبعثون. Shaitan said, reprieve me until the day they are resurrected. قال إنك من المنذرين. من المنذرين. Allah said, indeed, you are of those reprieved. What do we learn here? Allah listens to the du'as. He even listened to the du'a of Shaitan. Shaitan said, give me some time. Allah said, you are given. Shaitan said, because you have put me in error. This is his next quality Shaitan had. And he is blaming Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his error. This is what the quality of the people sometimes, when they follow Shaitan, they blame others for their own mistakes. I will surely sit in wait for them, meaning the mankind, on your straight path, meaning all those paths that take us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the straight path, through Quran, through Sunnah, Shaitan is sitting in the middle. This is why Shaitan makes it extremely, next to impossible for people to follow the straight path. He will entice you in every way. He will put all kinds of signs and landmarks in between so you get stopped right there and you forget about the real purpose. And this is what happens. So what Shaitan does, this is the next thing he does. He tries to put hurdles in the way of straight path. Then I will come to them from before them and from behind them and on the other right and on the other on their left and on their right. What do we learn? All four sides are mentioned, meaning you and I are not protected from Shaitan unless and until we ask. And he's coming from all directions, front, back, right side, left side. But you know, he forgot two sides. And you know what two sides? One is up. When you look up the heavens and make dua, your dua goes straight up. And one is on the floor when you are in a position of sujood. And these are the two ways we can get the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah said, depart from it, that is paradise, reproached and expelled. Mazmuma madhura, reproached and expelled. Whoever follows you among them, I will surely fill hell with you altogether. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clearly telling the people who would follow Shaitan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fill the hellfire with those people. And, O Adam, dwell you and your wife in paradise and eat from wherever you will, but do not approach this tree, lest you be among the wrongdoers. What do we learn? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Adam alayhi salam and his wife that do not eat from the tree. And why? Because the tree was a test for them. But you know what Shaitan did? Look at this. Ayah number 20, highlight this. But Shaitan whispered to them, this is the next quality of Shaitan, he whispered to them to make apparent to them that which was concealed from them of their private parts. He said, your Lord did not forbid you this tree, except that you become angel or become of the immortal. Meaning, Shaitan always entices you in a good way. He tells you, you know, if you save your money and not donate, you will have such a great car that people will love and you will enjoy. And if you abort your baby, you will save yourself from the troubles. And if you go and attend this function, you'll have so much fun. And if you eat haram, it's okay because it tastes so good. And you know, people sometimes, in the name of just trying it out, they are willing to try anything and everything. I've heard people, who say, being a Muslim, it's okay. Just taste alcohol at least once. It is so tasty. And, you know, vaping is okay. It's not really alcohol. It's not really putting you to sleep or something. This is where it starts. So Shaitan makes it really enticing. And we should know that if he can entice our father, Adam, don't you think he can entice us too? So Shaitan whispered to them and made them apparent what was hidden. And he swore by Allah, meaning Shaitan, to them, indeed, I am to you from among the sincere advisors. This is the next quality of Shaitan. Shaitan always comes in a form of loved ones. Highlight this. Because we sometimes have this image in our head that Shaitan is a devil and he has red eyes and a thorns coming out and big horns on his head. No, Shaitan always comes in the form of a well-wisher, advisor, who's there to advise you, and you start listening to the advice because he appears to be a good friend of yours. Ayah number 22. So he made them fall through deception. He deceived them. And when they tasted of the tree, their private parts became apparent to them, and they began to fasten together over themselves from the leaves of paradise. And their Lord called to them, did I not forbid you from the tree and tell you that Shaitan is your clear enemy? What do we learn here? Shaitan entices them. Even the father, Adam alayhi salam, was enticed by the Shaitan. And you know what the Shaitan's goal is? To teach us immorality and indecency. And that's the first thing Shaitan makes people to do. He wants them to follow him so he can desensitize them. And this is what we see today too at large. People are desensitized to immorality. They don't even mind being naked and half naked and almost naked. And I am talking about not non-Muslims. Of course, they are doing that. I am talking about Muslims too. They said, from ayah number 23 to 25, there's a beautiful dua you will learn, inshallah. They said, our Lord, we have wronged ourselves. Who said that? Adam alayhi salam said that. Why did they say that? Because they realized their mistake and they knew that they made a mistake. This is why Rasulullah ta'ala told them this beautiful dua. Qala, Rabbana walamna anfusana wa illam taghfirlana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. They said, our Lord, we have wronged ourselves, and if you do not forgive us and have mercy upon us, we will surely be among the losers. And then Allah said, descend, being to one another enemies, and for you on the earth is a place of settlement and enjoyment, that is provision for a time. He said, therein you will live, therein you will die, and from it you will be brought forward. Ayah number 26 to 31. Shaitan's target, reveal our bodies. He wants us to go minimum clothes and feel good about that too. O children of Adam, we have bestowed upon you clothing to conceal your private parts. In ayah number 26, we learn why Allah SWT made clothing necessary for us. You know, if it was possible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, definitely that he would not make clothing for us. Like for animals, they don't need clothing. Some animals have their skin as a fur. Some animals have their scales on their skin to protect them. Some animals have thinner skin and feathers and all those things. But for human, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made clothing. It is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has given clothing to us. Imagine if this clothing was not mandatory, if this clothing was not something that we're supposed to be wearing, how ugly human would look. Bare skin, a piece of meat which has so many imperfections in it. Not everybody has a perfect body. Imagine if we had no clothing, if God forbid, it would be such an ugly world, don't you think? Because clothing hides you. Clothing hides all the faults you have in your body. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beautifies you through the clothing. And this is also one of the purpose of the clothing, to beautify yourself. And this is what we learn in this ayah. O children of Adam, we bestowed upon you clothing to conceal your private parts. So the first purpose of the clothing is to conceal your private parts. And as an adornment. Risha, I want you to highlight this word, Risha. Risha means beauty, meaning clothing, not just conceal your private parts, conceal your body parts. It also beautifies you, meaning you should dress up, you should look nice. But this ayah about clothing is for inside clothing, inside your home. And you will learn in Surat Al-Ahzab and Surat Al-Nur about the clothing that you're supposed to be having when you go outside of the home. But inside the home, you should dress up. It is a right of a woman to dress up and look pretty and look nice. It makes a woman feel like a woman. Today, even that is taken away. Shaitan has made clothing look so ugly, not just revealing. People are wearing clothes as if they're not even wearing clothes. They're see-through materials. On top of that, he has made ripped jeans in fashion. He has made holes in a pocket in fashion. He has made tightest of the tightest clothing in fashion, and shortest of the shortest where the belly shows in fashion. I mean, he makes people think that the more rough the material is, the better it is. Allah SWT says, region, clothing is supposed to beautify you, not make you look ugly. People follow blindly whatever majority is doing. That's all the market is selling. That's all the our young youth buys. May Allah save us all. But the clothing of the righteousness, that is best. What do we learn here? Well, lipas of taqwa, I want you to highlight this, because lipas of taqwa is something that we need to pay attention to. When we have taqwa, when the lipas of the clothing, the garment of the taqwa is put on ourselves, then it becomes easy to not to follow the norms of the society. Then you look for the good, beautiful clothing that beautifies you, and yet it covers you and it follows you, follows the commands and the guidelines that is given in the Quran and Sunnah. That is from the signs of Allah that perhaps they will remember. O children of Adam, let not Shaitan tempt you as he removed your parents from paradise, stripping them from their clothing. What do we learn? Is Shaitan doing that to us nowadays? To show them their private parts. Indeed, he see you and his tribe. Shaitan is always looking after us. Shaitan is seeing us, what we do. And Shaitan is constantly watching us. But we don't get to see Shaitan. That's why we forget about him. From where you do not see him, indeed, we have made the devil's allies to those who do not believe. And we then commit an immorality. They say, when they commit immorality, they say, we found our forefathers doing it, and Allah has ordered us to do it. Say, indeed, Allah does not order immorality. It is Shaitan that makes people do that. Do you say about Allah that which you do not know? Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my Lord has ordered justice, and that you direct yourself to the Qibla at every place of time or a time of frustration, and invoke him, sincere to him in religion, just as he originated you, you will return to life. Mukhlis, be mukhlis in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mukhlis is sincerity to its maximum. We should make dua. This should be the one of the dua lists we can ask this month of Ramadan, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us mukhlis, the one who is sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A group of you he guided, and a group deserved to be in error. Indeed, they, that is the latter, has taken the devils as allies instead of Allah, while they thought that they were guided. Shaitan makes the thing that you are guided. This is why you're looking so pretty. People love you because of your looks. People love you the way you reveal your body. And people create feeling, they have the feeling of lust for you because they love you. This is all from Shaitan. O children of Adam, take your adornment, that is, wear your clothing at every masjid, and eat and drink, but be not excessive. Indeed, he likes not those who commit excess. What do we learn here? When it comes to going to parties, people buy expensive clothes. When it comes to going to masjid, people say, oh, it's only masjid. We're just going to be nice. It's okay. We don't have to wear the nice clothes. Even if you are wearing outer covering like abaya or something, but inside you should dress up because you're going to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, who has forbidden the adornment of you that is from Allah, which he has produced for his servants? You know, sometimes people have this image of pious people. They shouldn't be wearing nice clothes. Are they wearing such expensive clothes? How come they're spending so much money? You know what? Being muttaqi, having taqwa doesn't mean that the religion is a boring thing and you cannot follow it, right? So when we have this image of the being pious and being Muslim and being coming to the Quran and being muttaqi means that you have to look for into. No, when it's a woman to woman party, you can dress up. You can look nice at home. You should dress up. And when you go to masjid, if you're covered and it's private, you can dress up. Why? Because this is the image that people have today, that Islam means once you come to Islam, the life should be boring. No, this is not the case. In ayah number 32 to 39, we learn that save yourself from disobeying. Say, who has forbidden the adornment of that is from Allah, which He has produced for His servants, and the good lawful things of provision. You know, when we see some pious people, that we have image, and they're eating in an expensive restaurant, we say, oh, look at that. He's an imam of a masjid, and he's eating in this restaurant. Oh my Allah. Like as if it's haram or something. If he's eating halal, it's okay. Say, they are for those who believe during the life of this world exclusively for them on the day of resurrection. Thus do we detail the verses for a people you know. Say, my Lord has only forbidden immoralities, which what is apparent of them and what is concealed, and sin, and oppression without right, that you associate with Allah, that for which He has not sent down authority, and that you say about Allah that which you do not know. And for every nation is a specified term, so when their time has come, they will not remain behind an hour, nor will they precede it. O children of Adam, if there come to you messengers from among you, relating to you my verses, that is scriptures and laws, then whoever fears Allah and reforms, there will be no fear concerning them, nor will they grieve. But the ones who deny our verses and are arrogant towards them, those are the companions of the fire. They will abide therein eternally. Shaitan was arrogant. This is why he will end up in the hellfire. And when people have this trait, this causes them to go. It leads them towards the hellfire. May Allah save us from arrogance. Ayah number 37. And who is more unjust than one who invents about Allah a lie or deny His verses? Those will attain their portion of degree until when our messengers, that is angels, come to them, take them in death. They will say, where are those who used to invoke besides Allah? They will say, they have departed from us, and will bear witness against themselves that they were disbelievers. Allah will say, enter among nations which had passed on before you of jinn and mankind into the fire. Every time a nation enters, it will curse its sister until when they have all overtaken one another therein. The last of them will say about the first of them, our Lord, these had misled us, so give them double the punishment of the fire. He will say, meaning Allah SWT will say, for each is double, but you do not know. Meaning there will be a blame game. Because of them, we followed them. Allah SWT is saying, everybody will have double the punishment because what they did themselves and how they mislead others to do the same. Ayah number 39. And the first of them will say to the last of them, then you had not any favor over us, so taste the punishment for what you used to earn. Ayah number 40 to 47, you can write the topic down. Results will be postponed. And this is where we learn about Al-A'raf. Indeed, those who deny our verses are arrogant towards them, the gates of heaven will not be open for them, nor will they enter paradise until a camel enters into the eyes of the needle, meaning is like it will never happen. They will have from hell a bed and over them coverings of the fire, and thus do we recompense the wrongdoers. But those who believe and did righteous deeds, we charge no soul except within its capacity. Those are the companions of the paradise. They will abide therein eternally, and we will have removed whatever is within their breast of the resentment while flowing beneath them are rivers that, and they will say, praise to Allah, praise to Allah. These are the words the people of the paradise will have. Let's praise Allah right now. say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, the oh Allah giving me this book. I am very thankful and grateful. And they will say, praise to Allah who has guided us to this. And we would never have been guided if Allah had not guided us. Isn't that true? You and I would be doing something else right now if Allah didn't put us here. Certainly, the messages of our Lord had come with the truth, and they will be called, this is paradise which you have been made to inherit for what you used to do. And the companions of the paradise will call out to the companions of the fire, we have already found what our Lord promised us to be the true. Have you found what your Lord promised to be true? They will say, yes. Then an announcer will announce, among them, the curse of Allah shall be upon the wrongdoers. Who averted people from the way of Allah and sought to make it seem deviant while they were concerning the hereafter? Disbelievers. And between them will be a partition that is a wall, and on its elevation are men. on this elevation are men who recognize all but by their mark, and they call out to the companions of the paradise, peace be upon you. They have not yet entered it, but they long intensely. Al-Araf is a place which is high elevation, and that will be placed where the people whose result will not be announced, they will be standing there, meaning they will be waiting there because their good deeds and bad deeds will be the same number or same weight. So this is why the decision will be postponed. And in this, the action item we can take from this ayah is that, you know, don't ever consider any deed very small, because that may be one single deed that we might let go in this world easily, and that is all it's needed to weigh your, keep your scale on the right side. So always take an opportunity to do good. And when their eyes are turned towards the companions of the fire, they say, our Lord, do not place us with the wrongdoing people. From ayah number 48 to 53, a dialogue between people of the heavens and the people of the hell. And the companions of the elevation will call to men within hell, whom they recognize by their mark, saying, of no avail to you was your gathering and the fact that you were arrogant. Allah will say, are these the ones whom you inhabitants of the hell swore that Allah would never offer them mercy? Enter paradise, O people of the elevation. No fear will there be concerning you, nor will you grieve. And the companions of the fire will call to the companions of the paradise, pour upon us some of the water for whatever Allah SWT has provided you. They will say, indeed, Allah has forbidden them both to the disbelievers. Can you imagine? In this ayah 50, the people of the Jannah will say to the people of the hell, we cannot give you any water or anything. You know why? Because now Allah has made this haram upon you. Because in this dunya, you made haram halal upon yourself. This is why over there, the people of the Jannah will not be allowed to give anything to the people of the hell, because now all those halal goodness of the Jannah is haram upon them. Who took their religion as distraction and amusement, and whom the worldly life deluded? الَّذِينَ تَخَذُوا دِينَهُمْ لَهْوًا وَلَعْبًا وَغَرَّتْهُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. Meaning, this life is nothing but deception. People get too busy in it, and this is what the ending is. The people who take this life very easy, the lesson we learn here is that this life is a serious thing. It's an examination room. You know, when a child or you are sitting in an examination room, think of your exam when you have went to school or something. Were you playing around when you were sitting in the examination room? If there's an example, you can understand this ayah very well. Like, for example, you know, a child went to a examination hall, and he saw the paper, and all the questions that are written there, they're very different, and he doesn't know the answer. You know what he does? He rips the paper apart, and he writes his own question, and he gives the exam, and he comes home. Mother asks the child, you know what? So how was the exam? He said, you know, it was not good. It was very bad, and the questions were very wrong, and I didn't know the answers. You know what I did? I ripped that question paper. Mother's going to have a heart attack, don't you think? Because he's going to say, so what? Mother's going to ask, so what did you do next? He's going to say, you know what? I just didn't like those questions, so I took them out and I replaced those questions by my own desire, by my own choice of questions. So I wrote those questions down, and then I wrote the answers of my choice, and then I submitted the paper. What do you think this person and this child is going to be? He's going to be failed. And today people are living in this dunya of the life of their choice and thinking the question that they like, they will be asked there. No, Allah SWT is saying, I will ask you the question that I send you. And if you don't follow and you consider this world as a place of the having the fun and entertainment and game and sports arena and all those things, and then you forget about what the real purpose is, then think about it. What's going to happen? So we will forget them just as they forgot the meeting of this day of theirs and for having rejected our verses. And we have certainly brought them a book which we detail by knowledge as guidance and mercy to the people who believe. Do they await except its results? The day its results come, those who have ignored it before will say, the messenger of our Lord had come with the truth. So are there now any intercessors to intercede for us, or could we be sent back to that to do other than what we used to do? They will have lost themselves, and lost from them is what they used to invent. Indeed, your Lord, from ayah number 54 to 58, universe is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, your Lord is Allah, who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and then established himself above the throne. He covers the night with the day, another night, chasing it rapidly, and he created the sun, the moon, and the stars, subjected by his command. Because unquestionably, he is the creation and the command. Blessed is Allah, Lord of the worlds. Call upon your Lord in humility and privately. Indeed, he does not like transgressors. In ayah number 55, we learn the etiquette of making du'a. When you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be humble. Humble yourself in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and cry. Cry your heart out and let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know about your sins. And not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't know. It's just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes it when a person admits a sin and say, oh Allah, I did this wrong. I did that wrong. Oh Allah, forgive me. And ayah number 56, and cause no corruption upon the earth after its reformation, and invoke him in fear and aspiration. Indeed, the mercy of Allah is near to the doers of the good. Ayah number 57, and it is he who sends the wind as good tidings before his mercy, that is rainfall, until when they have carried heavy rain clouds, We drive them to a dead land, and we send down rain therein, and bring forth thereby some of all fruit. Thus will we bring forth the dead. Perhaps you may be reminded near that on the day of judgment that heavy rainfall will happen, and the body that are degenerated, they will be grow again like a plant grows. And the good land, its vegetation emerges by permission of its Lord, but that which is bad, nothing emerges except sparsely with difficulty. Thus, do we diversify the signs for the people who are grateful? We have certainly sent Nuh alayhi salam. From ayah number 59 and onwards, you'll learn about many prophets. They gave the same message, and their people denied them. We have certainly sent Nuh to his people, and he said, O my people, worship Allah. You have no deity other than him. Indeed, I fear you, the punishment of that tremendous day, said the eminent ones, his people. Indeed, we see you in clear error. Nuh said, O my people, there is no error in me, but I am a messenger from the Lord of the worlds. I convey to you the message of my Lord and advise you, and I know from Allah what you do not know. Then do you wonder that there has come to you a reminder from your Lord through a man from among you, that he may warn you and that you may fear Allah so you might receive mercy? But they denied him, so we saved him and those who were with him in the ship, and we drowned those who denied our signs. Indeed, they were a blind people. And to the Al, ayah number 65, the story of the Al, people of the Al. And to the odd, we send a brotherhood. He said, "Oh my people, worship Allah. You have no deity other than Him. Then will you not fear Him?" Said the eminent ones, "Who disbelieve among His people? Indeed, we see you in foolishness, and indeed, we think you are of the liars." Hud said, "O my people, there is not foolishness in me, but I am the messenger from the Lord of the worlds. I convey you to the message of my Lord, and I am to you a trustworthy advisor. Then do you wonder that there has come to you a reminder from your Lord through a man from among you, that he may warn you? And remember when he made you successor after the people of the Nuh and increased in the stature extensively, so remember the favors of Allah that you might succeed." They said, "Have you come to us that we should worship Allah alone and leave what our forefathers had worshipped? Then bring us what you promised us if you should be truthful." Who said, "Already have defilement and anger falling upon you from the Lord. Do you dispute with me concerning mere names? You have named them, you and your forefathers, for which Allah has not sent down any authority. Then wait. Indeed, I am with you among those who wait." So we saved him and those with him by mercy from us, and we eliminated those who denied our signs, and they were not all at all believers. From ayah number 73 to 79, story of the Sahih alayhi salam. And to the Samud, we send their brother Salih, "Worship Allah. You have no deity other than Him. There has come to you clear evidence from your Lord. This is the she-camel of Allah, sent to you as a sign. So leave her to eat within Allah's hand and do not touch her with harm. Thus there seized you a painful punishment after the ad and settled you in the land, and you take for yourself from its plains and call from the mountains homes. Then remember the favors of Allah and do not commit abuse on the earth, spreading corruption." Said the eminent ones, who were arrogant among his people, to those who oppressed, to those who believed among them, "Do you actually know that Salih is sent from his Lord?" They said, "Indeed, we in that with which he was sent are believers." Said those who were arrogant, "Indeed, we in that which you have believed are disbelievers." So they hamstrung the she-camel and was insolent towards the command of their Lord, and said, "O Salih, bring us what you promised us if you should be of the messengers." So the earthquake seized them, and they became within their homes corpses falling prone. And if that is Salih turned away from them and said, "O my people, I had certainly conveyed to you the message of my Lord and advised you, but you do not like the advisers." Ayah number 80 to 84, Lut. And we had sent Lut when he said to his people, "Do you commit such immorality as no one has preceded you with from among the worlds? Indeed, you approach men with desire instead of women. Rather, you are transgressing people." But the answer of his people was only that they said, "Evict them from your city. Indeed, they are men who keep themselves pure." So we saved him and his family, except for his wife. She was those of who reminded with the evildoers. And we rained upon them a rain of stones. Then see how the end of the criminals. And now it's from 85 to 87, story of Shuaib alayhi salam. And to the people of the Madian, we sent their brothers Shuaib. He said, "O my people, worship Allah. You have no deity other than Him. There has come to you clear evidence from your Lord. So fulfill the measures and wait, and do not deprive people of their due, and cause not corruption upon the earth after its reformation. That is better for you. if you should be the believers, and do not sit on every path, threatening and averting from the way of Allah those who believe in Him, seeking to make it seem deviant. And remember, when you were few and He increased you, and see how was the end of the corruptors. And if you should be a group among you who has believed in that with which I have sent, and a group that has not believed that, then be patient until Allah judges between us, and He is the best of the judges. SubhanAllah. So many stories of the prophets we learn here. These stories will come throughout the Quran many times, and inshallah we will learn more in detail when they come in the next ayahs. For the Juz'a du'a, the du'a is in the next night, if you see. Rabbi a'udhu bika min hamazati shayateen wa a'udhu bika rabbi an yahdurun. Say this du'a, memorize this du'a, because today the most important thing we can do to ourselves, the favor we can do to ourselves, is remember and memorize this du'a and seek refuge against shaitan in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because without this, without Allah's help, we cannot beat Him. This is why we say in Surah Al-Fatiha, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we worship You, but we need Your help. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And how can you ask help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? By saying these du'as that were taught in Quran and Sunnah. And this beautiful ayah in Quran tells us that, My Lord, I seek refuge in You from the incitements of the devils, and I seek refuge in You, My Lord, lest they be present with Me. And inshallah, we will end our session here, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us, and really make it truly understanding for us, and really save us from the shaitan, because after today's and we should know, why do we see that sometimes it becomes very hard to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Sometimes you see majority is not the authority. With that, inshaAllah. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Jazakumullah khairan kathira. Basmiyada shafaiza. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. We were just in time to conclude our lesson. Alhamdulillah. Subhanallah. Today's session was an eye-opener. Alhamdulillah. But we were, you know, we were made aware of our enemy. We were introduced with our eternal enemy, and in so many ways which we do not even consider sometimes, you know. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us hikmah, the wisdom to spot it from miles away, and give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala His due right, inshallah wa ta'ala. Now let's discuss some points to ponder we will take with us from this so very beneficial session, inshallah wa ta'ala. I want everyone to please write one thing you're going to take from this session today, inshallah. And later, I would like you to please write the action points too, which you selected for yourself. Which slide, sister? Admin, if you could please do the slideshow again. Jazakumullah khairan kathira. Listening to Quran will open up the chest. Alhamdulillah. To instill in our kids, we feel the sin of and taqwa. Ji, bilkul. That's what we have to work towards our coming, with our generation, you know. So we have a stronger generation. 26, please. Slide 26, please. Shaitan is an open enemy to mankind. Indeed, he is. Indeed, he is. And have you, did you, when we go through all the different things he does, proper dressing increase taqwa, alhamdulillah. One good deed is multiplied 10 times, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Yes, indeed. Never make up your own rules on how to live in this world. Exactly, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gave us the rules. Why would we make our own rules? No one is safe from shaitan. Exactly. Save yourself from zulm. and Quran is full of barakah. Exactly, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Quality over quantity, alhamdulillah. 59 to 64 ayahs. Yeah, alhamdulillah. Arrogance leads to closed doors. Exactly. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Now, you know, when we understand the severity of these things, then it is better for us to work on them. If we be a well-wisher for others. Yes, alhamdulillah. You know what? When we realize something that it is... don't brittle any goodies. You do not know which one will weigh heavy on you. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. We have to know good deed is little for us. You know, we never know what deed will take us, it will make our scale heavy, inshallah wa ta'ala. Every deed matters. Indeed, it does. It does. Clothing is a blessing, alhamdulillah. Display the balanced version of deen, subhanallah. This is what learning, makes you. You know, it just makes your vision so bright and wide, alhamdulillah. Display the balanced version of deen intention, alhamdulillah. See, we are learning so many points, and if one misses one point, we can always take a lesson from that point, and it will become sadqa jariya for everyone, alhamdulillah. So just whenever you write point, write in the proper manner, so if someone else missed that, and it can be sadqa jariya for you. So again, no deed is little. Having zakah does not mean to live miserably. Alhamdulillah, yes. Some people, they think, you know, taqwa means, oh, just live very poorly, don't dress up, don't, wear good clothes or eat good food and stuff. So, alhamdulillah, that is not the case. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with bounties, we are bound to use them. But there is a limit. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has drawn the line there, na? Arrogance closes door, clothing is a blessing, be a thinker, not a blind follower. Exactly, alhamdulillah. And you know what, again, knowledge comes into picture then. So knowledge, every point reminds you of knowledge. If we do not have knowledge, then we cannot work on anything. Clearly learn about halal meat. Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. Giving ourselves in the hands of Allah takes us to righteousness. Indeed it does, indeed it does. Alhamdulillah. It feels so good. It's like contentment of heart. Alhamdulillah, when we learn the authentic knowledge, and then alhamdulillah, we implement it, and when we know that it will take us to a better place, alhamdulillah. Yes, exactly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has dictated animals halal for us. So why would we, there could be health issues or something. Then you leave it, then that's different. But making it haram, that's not the right perception. So many people giving me heart why you eat from halal meat place, just but from Costco, it's same now. I have some backup. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. It is what you strive for will benefit you. If you are not striving for anything, and Jannah is not easy, my dear sisters. It is hard work, inshallah wa ta'ala. Of course, we will be blessed Jannah with the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you have to do something, right? To earn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's prayer, to earn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah, mercy. It is when they are slaughtered properly in the name of Allah. And there is a proper procedure of, inshallah, when you read further, you will know how to slaughter an animal, inshallah, then you will know. But it is basically in the name of Allah, when you recite Bismillah, Bismillahi Allahu Akbar, and you slaughter the animal, and then all the blood is drained. And then you and there are rules like the knife should be sharp, and the animal should not be shown a knife before, or you know, like things like that. So it is what does that mean? What about how they live? I'm I'm not sure, Sister, your question. I didn't get you. Sister Ghazala, it is, you know, it is such a question that we are not here. It is not a fake class again. And when you will, inshallah wa ta'ala, learn in depth all the Quran, then inshallah wa ta'ala, your teacher can be, the best bet to ask these questions, inshallah wa ta'ala. So again, it is just the scratching of the surface of Quran. And we are just knowing the rules. But the general perception is that the animal, it has to be slaughtered in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the way it is supposed to be, the way we are through Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are told the way we have to slaughter the animal, and that's it. It is after. You're saying after, but that is not the law. Law says you have to recite before, not after. Okay? Thank you. All right. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honor us to study Quran in depth, inshallah wa ta'ala. So we learn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commandment firsthand and follow them. So we are prepared for our eternal life, inshallah wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the authentic knowledge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the direction towards the right path. May we are granted the ultimate guidance. May we are saved from the regrets of tomorrow. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from our mortal enemy. Ameen, Sama Ameen. Take good care of yourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep you all safe in His hifz wa aman, in His afiyat. Keep you protected from any and every evil there is. May you all rewarded the very best for your conscious effort to learn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. Ameen, Sama Ameen. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا وتب علينا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على رسول خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
ربنا تقبل منا.